enemies, one being American Islam and the other the great Satan. Now, we mentioned in this program that Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, whatever word he said was law. In other words, he's not saying words for the sake of saying them because it's either good PR or because of the fact that it's something to do with just saying something for the moment, which is what many other personalities and leaders of previous revolutions have done in the past in order to make people hate a particular enemy. Imam Khomeini never hated anyone. He was stating facts. So when he states the fact that the Americans or the USA is the great Satan, what did he mean by that? Did he mean that they are behaving like Satan? They show the characteristics of Satan? In terms of the fact that we discussed in the previous program, that Satan's objective is not just simply that we abandon principles or that we abandon God or stop our belief in God or become infidels, but the fact is that he wants the complete abasement and the abuse and disgrace of mankind in the sight of God. He's not satisfied with anything less, because going to hell is only part of the process in which he would like to see man fall. So we're putting everything in the context of the Holy Quran, because of course the Holy Quran is an account of what happens to man when he abandons God or loses his faith in God, and what happens to man when he does believe in God. And that's what Imam Khomeini wanted to show by his example to the rest of the world in the late 20th century, when religion had really taken a back seat. Once again, I've got Dr. Hassani to help me with this discussion, and I'd like to welcome him on the program once again.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for having
me. Yes, and Dr. Hassani, of course, is an Islamic researcher and academic by profession. Dr. Hassani, take us into the next stage of this debate and this discussion, because you've talked about humiliation and debasement by Satan from the Holy Quran, but we are looking at, what are our Satans now? Is it still Satan in the form of the USA, or are we talking about something entirely different here? Because Imam Khomeini made a statement, and he said the great Satan can't do anything. So take us into that stage. Why did Imam Khomeini say that, and what did he mean by it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, so many different subjects, one at a time, as much as I can elaborate
sure,
on.
Sure, sure.
And I would like to start by, my style of talking. Mm-hmm. In order to think, you have to raise a good question. Brother Ejaz, every question is not, according to Islamic teaching, Quranic, mm-hmm. every question is not worth of being asked.
Sure.
The one that can help you in hereafter, in the final destination of yours.
Sure.
That could be a good,
sure.
because there is an order in Quran said, don't ask of those things that if it can be revealed to you, is going to cause you problem.
Sure.
This is a Quranic understanding.
Sure.
I would like to raise a question, because the way we look at, the way the entire world looking at Imam Khomeini, may his holy soul rest in peace, is this, that he was a leader, of course.
Of
he
course.
Was a leader of the Islamic Revolution.
Sure.
My question is this. In order to understand, who can be a leader? What's a leader? Of course, somebody who can lead. Take you from position A to position B without any damage.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sure.
With the least expenses. But the question is this. Who can be a leader? My simple answer to you is this. Someone who has been to destination and came back.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
Because you're talking about divine orders here. If you're not at a certain age... This is one of the personalities, great personalities of Imam. Some people think that Imam, of course, every different person during the course of his own time, he can become more perfect, okay?
Sure.
He can do things better. But Imam Khomeini, one of his a unique way of approaching the fact was that when he was very young, he worked on himself, as we say.
Yes. Yes.
He really, really tried so hard in order to understand Quran and practice it.
Yes.
So, someone like him can be a leader, and for the follower can have the trust to follow him. Because he, against his personal desires, okay, he could have an open, a constant open eye to see his divine mission in order to lead people, okay, to the right path and take them to the destination. Because another criteria I should mention here is this. Who can you trust? This is my question.
Sure.
How do you know that in a relationship, a mutual, of course it is, how can you trust? How can you pick a good company of somebody?
Sure.
My answer to you simply, according to the Quranic teaching and according to the good advice of the impeccables, all the
imams.
Prophets and imams, is this. Someone who doesn't, listen to the criteria again and think about it. Someone who doesn't invite you to himself.
But invites you to God.
Invites you to the truth.
Truth, yeah.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he helps you.
Sure.
And he helps himself.
Sure.
And in this, with this dialogue, with this kind of mutual understanding and relationship, you both can grow.
Yes. Yes.
So again, if someone does call upon you to do something, to gain something for himself or herself, this is not a good sign.
No.
This is a warning. This is something you have to be cautious about.
Yeah.
Imam Khomeini never, ever says somebody to follow him. Remember, before he became a marja, he never ever tried to write his risala, the practical book of religious do's and don'ts.
Don'ts.
He did not. They asked him to, you know, to use the share of the impeccables, the part of the one-fifth of Allah's duty, which we call khums. He never allowed that money, for that money to be funded for something personal. Think about that.
Yeah. But I want to answer that.
But he became a great marja later on.
Sure. But I want to get to the nitty gritty of the fact that, you know, we're talking about a superpower that is doing the things which wanted to humiliate the country called Iran. And I'm saying that Imam Khomeini is not saying that this great Satan for the sake of just popular press. Why does he say that? And what was the prevalent criteria?
I was going to get to this part.
Because the thing being, and I like to elaborate a little bit on my question. The reason being that in the 7th century, there was a culture of jahiliya. They say that it was an age of ignorance. You said to me that in the 7th century, you have to look at the broader context of the world.
You have to.
And you're quite right about that. But
so
the point is,
you shouldn't just study the situation in Arabian Peninsula.
Right.
You should know exactly what happened in Persia, India, Egypt, and Rome.
But what you're seeing at the end of the day is that in the 7th century, there was not a body of knowledge or any light by which man could be guided towards perfection, because that's what we're really talking about. Because you talked about two things. You talked about the reward of the body being paradise and the reward of the soul being God Almighty himself. In other words, the other civilizations were also off track, even though the Roman Empire was monotheistic. It was Christian. It believed in a text and a prophet that had come several centuries before Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Yet they were not the solution. They were not correct in their terms of their view of what man was and where he's going. And similarly, in the East, they are mostly polytheistic. They were believing in many gods. So even the concept of one God was very difficult for them to absorb. What I'm saying now is, was Imam Khomeini talking about the great Satan because there's an age of jahiliya which they are spreading throughout the world?
Good question. On a lighter note, let me ask you this. Do you know why Satan wants to take everybody to hell?
No, I don't.
Because he doesn't want to be alone.
He doesn't need our company that badly, does he?
Have you ever thought about that?
No.
I mean, think about it. He knows he's going to hell.
Wow.
Why? He disobeyed his creator.
But he's
God told him something to do.
Yeah.
He didn't. Then he started challenging God.
Yeah.
Oh, why you created me? You created me from the fact of that I'm from fire.
Fire, yeah.
And he's from clay, and fire is obviously superior to... I mean, this is nonsense.
Yes.
Hey, Allah told him to prostrate for him in front of Adam, peace be upon him, just to test him.
Yes.
He wants to know who was nosy. I make it simple for you. Do we have to know the answer for everything?
No.
Can we find the answer to everything? What's the submission means? You have to be submissive to something. And you cannot be submissive to nobody except for your own creator. He knows you best.
Best, yes.
Okay? By definition, we talked about this before.
Sure, yeah.
So on the lighter note, he knows. He knows he's going to hell.
Mm.
So who wants to be alone in that misery?
In that misery.
He wants to have company.
Yeah. To watch their misery.
Exactly.
To feel better.
To feel better.
To feel better.
I mean, this because is a psychology.
We have to say that because Satan is doing it out of sheer hatred because he's jealous and he's vengeful.
Mm-hmm. So this one thing. Putting this aside.
Yeah. Is that the same with the United States?
I'm getting to that part. I'm getting to that part. Yeah. Yes, it is. Why? Hmm. Because when American mentality, so not mentioning any names right now.
Right. Because there are three qualities here, isn't there? There's arrogance, which is what Imam Khomeini referred
which
to.
Satan is good at it.
Which is, Satan is
cockiness,
good at it. Cockiness, arrogance. At the same time, vengefulness.
And be proud of it.
Yeah.
And don't even think for a second that he might be wrong.
Sure.
Don't listen to the logic.
Yeah. And the other fact is that because of that arrogance and that vengefulness, that because that's what we're seeing. After 34 years, when America lost its footing here in Iran, they have become extremely vengeful.
Mm-hmm.
I
would use different word here.
Paranoid?
They became vicious.
Vicious, yeah.
You talk about doing something savage.
Yeah, I mean, because they threaten Iran every single moment.
And nobody asks this simple question on a constantly basis, okay?
Yeah.
What kind of debt Iran had to you?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, the thing is this.
Yeah.
The mentality goes like this.
Sure.
When America is talking about of our way of life, which they think is superior, I give you the clue.
Yeah.
I give you the signs. You know, we're not against nobody. Okay?
Yeah.
You know who's the biggest enemy of us? Ourselves.
Selves. Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A'da adubbik. Nafsik, allati bayna jambayk. The mere translation, again, impeccable, says, the worst enemy of yours is your own soul, which is within your capacity.
Exactly.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
How much we really, truly love ourselves? If we did, we couldn't commit sin to go and see the difficulties of hereafter, if you believe
in it. That's a very important point now you're raising there, because...
Do you know what I'm saying?
You're absolutely right. So we are oppressors even for ourselves.
By claiming... Remember, we were talking about claim. I'm going to get back to this point.
Sure.
When you claim, Brother Ejaz, you make the task harder for yourself.
You do.
The bigger the claim...
The harder it becomes.
The harder it becomes. It's like, you know, you're digging... The whole.
But I'd like to add in at this point that Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah, knew the price, and he lived it, because it meant also it meant self-sacrifice.
What's the blame or what's the question that God put upon us? He said, "Lima taqulun? Why you say things? Ma la taf'alun? You cannot come out of it. You cannot take action upon it. Why say so?
Why make false claims? Yeah.
Why?"
Yeah.
As simple as that.
We're coming back to the shadow of God again, aren't we?
We're getting back to that, which is ridiculous. Nonsense.
Nonsense.
How a society, you know, of course they didn't, because there was a struggle.
Yeah.
The revolution is not something sudden. It takes time.
True.
It was an ongoing process, struggle, very difficult. How, for God's sake, somebody call himself shadow of God? This kind of crap, nonsense.
Hmm.
Okay? Which you cannot take to any bank.
No.
And you cannot deposit it anywhere.
Mm.
In order to withdraw later on.
Yeah. I mean, in a sense, what we're saying there, even though we're making a metaphor here in terms of seeing the shadow of God, but how could a Muslim, how does a Muslim
say
such
that
a thing?
That tells you that's
verging on unbelief.
How serious, how genuine.
Mm.
How trustworthy you are.
Yeah.
Okay, and you saw the end result.
Sure.
Don't forget what I keep saying.
Yeah.
You saw the end result.
Yes.
Where is he?
And where was the sultanate that he had?
Exactly.
Mm.
When how many people he tortured by Savak? How many people he killed? How he's going to respond to this? How he's going to be accountable? Of course, God is going to
make him accountable.
Do whatever.
Yeah.
But in on the surface, if you ask him, look, you're not doing just, you're not doing fair things, you're ruining everybody's life, you make people miserable.
And you deviate them.
And you make, exactly. Hmm. Then you expect for people to sit there forever, you know, and say nothing against this. Of course they're going to fed up. Everything has a limit. Hmm. Brother Ejos, this is another criteria of the creation.
Well,
another system.
I mean, let's go
Everything
back.
Has a limit.
Your limit. Because
which is short.
Sure. Because the thing is that, as Imam Ali alayhi salam says, everything else can be tolerated except for injustice.
Exactly. When America claims, this is a big claim.
Yeah.
We are the leader
of the free world.
The free world.
Liberty.
Who's we?
Democracy. Who's we?
Every single word has a meaning, and somebody has to be held
accountable for it. Yes.
And I say something with their mentality.
Sure.
My question to them is this, especially when we took hostages, which Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him, called them the second revolution. And it was.
It was, yes.
And it was. You have to think about it.
That's right.
If it wasn't for the fact that the slogan, the principle of the struggle of Iranian people, whom happened to be Muslim, whom happened to be a Shia, wants to follow the path of Islam, when they say the slogan of independence, remember carefully, these words is chosen carefully, independence, then freedom, then Islamic Republic. Because without being disconnected from the atrocities that U.S. government committed in this country under the regime of Shah, the dictatorship of Shah, you know, without getting rid of that, how could we face freedom? Think about that. First comes independence. Mm. Then freedom. Then we can breathe. Mm. Then we can be really free to decide. Listen to this part. This is the beauty part. The beautiful part.
Sure, sure.
After you disconnect from the tyrant, from the pharaoh of the time.
Time, yeah.
Then you can judge for yourself. You can make a decision for yourself, for your society, for your own people. Mm. Okay? Under the true freedom. Then you can pick the Islamic Republic. Listen to this. All in order. You cannot misplace the word.
Yes.
The ranking is in order. It's the same.
Same.
Has to be the same. Sure. Whoever, and I'm not mentioning any names, they misplace these words. They distort
the order of them.
The order of them. The fact that the slogan, which is still is in place, intact, applicable.
Sure.
You have to do it. Mm. You have to be careful about it. Mm. Is istiqlal, which is independence.
Sure.
Then Azadi, which is freedom.
Sure.
Then you can pick Islamic Republic of Iran in order to run your society.
Sure.
Again, back to explain it. But American says, we, who's we? My reply to them is this. Who died and made you the king?
Exactly.
Who died and made you the boss? We don't want boss. If there is a boss, it's going to be from us in order to run the system. That's a different story.
Sure.
And we don't have bosses, by the way.
Sure.
We only have servants. Well, remember what Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him, said?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
He said, don't call me the leader. Call me the
servant of
the
people.
Because he could foresee all these things.
Yes.
He could see some people, arrogant, cocky, later on in the course of history, feel like they were somebody.
Body.
Okay?
Yeah.
And there was a pharaoh in him.
He already stopped that. Due to the Quranic teaching.
Why? Because he's a true leader. Because he wants to take us from A to B.
B. And he's a
servant.
Without
any damage. And he did it.
Yeah.
He did his part. Did we listen to him? That's a different story. He said, don't call me that.
Mm.
Remember, this was after the incident that 13-year-old Shahid Fahmy, the martyr Fahmy there.
He said he was the leader.
He was the leader.
Yeah.
And he meant it.
Yeah. This was the boy who sacrificed himself
Imam
under an Iraqi tank.
Meant it. He didn't just say it.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of saying
but
it.
But I want to make it clear for the listeners in case they don't know that this was the 13-year-old boy who sacrificed himself under an Iraqi tank at the time.
Okay?
Yeah.
So America says, we are the free world. our way of life, our values. Again, listen to this. Values. You are a society with, you call it yourself, which is a melting pot.
Sure.
We don't want to be a melting pot in that sense.
No.
That everybody does whatever he or she pleases.
Well, I'm just thinking of the court.
We want to be the slave, the servant of God.
Yes, I'm just thinking. Well, not of Dick Cheney, because that's the thing that
that's the funny one.
Yeah, that's the one that that comes to mind immediately in recent times, where he says our way of life is just securing energy and oil. Is that all we're down
to? Is all they care about oil?
Oil.
Yeah.
Just as long as Dick Cheney makes the millions.
The smell of oil attracts.
Yeah.
Them.
And avoids taxation.
The feeling, the greasiness of it, the dirtiness of it attracts them, just like it does to British government.
Sure.
During the course of history. But let me explain something else.
Sure.
This is the Satan part. Mm. Why great Satan?
Yes.
This is the Satan part.
Yes, but why great Satan?
Invite everybody to himself, to itself, I should say, in this one.
Sure. The question is why great?
Why great? Mm. Because he calls on every single little Satan. Every single little Satan who might be sleepy at the time. He wakes them up. Says, look, there's a big battle going on.
Mm.
Let's arrange the troops. Call on Air Force, Navy, Ground Force.
Yes, mass mobilization.
Let me get more simple with this. Mm. Let me give you the real application of this. Let's bring European Union into this.
Mm.
Let's bring United Nations into this.
Sure.
And
whatever
what is
else.
The what's that body that always passes the resolution against Iran? And
yeah,
the only thing it knows in this case. You know why I keep saying it? I'm very careful with picking these words.
Sure.
Because it doesn't give you something something human.
Mm.
I use
something
this on
mean,
purpose.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So when you talk about a cat, you can say it.
Mm.
If you're not looking at the gender.
Sure.
Okay? So he calls upon every single Satan. And we have a narration that at the beginning, at the resurrection of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Satan called upon every single small Satan. Let's do something.
Mm.
Something big happened.
Mm.
And something big was that Islamic revolution in our time.
Sure.
That's why this is not a label. You talk about reality. Imam didn't just say that because to give him a label, to identify him. Everybody knows who they are.
Sure.
Okay? They are against every single truth. If a nation wants to rise and take the destiny, for the sake of truth, to take their destiny into their own hand, they call them terrorists. And there is good terrorists, bad terrorists.
Sure.
So who's doing what, where, in the Iranian borders?
They falsely demonize
them. It doesn't. And one of their characteristics is this. Everybody wants everybody else to be like them.
Like
this
themselves.
This is why the word demonizing comes into place.
Sure.
Because they are demon. Mm. They're demonizing everything.
Everybody, yeah.
They, putting this label, they portray the negative, the darkness that they always practice, but they think nobody knows about it. And that's not the case.
Yeah.
Imam Khomeini, in that sense, was leading us in order to wake up and understand the whole situation.
And this comes straight out of the Quran.
Exactly.
Because we, as we said right at the beginning, that as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, he's not going to mention anything in the Quran which he's not going to make real. Because he did say that one day, those people who are abused and abased in this world are going to inherit this world.
Let me elaborate on this. While we're on the subject, we might don't come back to this.
Sure.
Some people say, how far can we carry this animosity with the U.S. government? Number one, I don't want to give you false hope here.
Mm.
Although I don't want to be pessimistic about it.
Sure.
Optimistically, I'm telling you, with the teaching of Quran and the narrations of impeccables, and knowing the history of Islam, 1400 years ago, and losing logic and my intellect behind it, I tell you something.
Sure.
With regard to the relationship with America.
Sure.
Brother, if America does not do what it does, it's not America. It's not the nature of America.
Absolutely.
If Satan doesn't do satanic, you can't call him Satan. Mm. As long as this mentality, this proudness of self, it's intact, America is going to do the same thing. Torture, killing, you know, on all under the name. The sad part is this. We're not expecting anything from the enemy.
No.
We shouldn't.
No.
Because Quran doesn't tell us that.
No.
All Quran tells us to be vigilant about it.
Exactly.
To have open eyes. We don't expect nothing from America.
Okay,
And the moment that America does not do this, America is gone.
Mm.
And that's not America. That's not down with America back then.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
right. This is very important to think about.
No, I think you have to say that the animosity is from America.
Exactly.
It's not coming from us. We're trying to help them to come to the right path.
We would be more than happy for them in order to get on the right path.
But to conclude...
And the right path is what?
Yeah.
The law of creation.
Exactly. But to conclude this program, Dr. Hasni, in order to stick with Quranic teaching, and that's what Imam Khomeini was living and acting upon, may God bless his great soul, we're talking about what happened to Pharaoh last minute in the Dead Sea.
Which one?
Well, the one that was in Egypt. And in the Dead Sea, and he, at the last minute, acknowledges the fact that God is one.
Well, Pharaoh was big at the time.
Yeah.
But we have this small, tiny, you know, they think they are Pharaoh.
That's what we're saying, that the enemy has that mentality, and it means that it will head for its own destruction. Well, it leaves me just to say, may the peace and blessings and mercy of Allah be upon you all. And thank
you. Same to you.
I hope that you have enjoyed the program today. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A video has gone viral showing animals at a U.S. zoo enjoying their bath time becoming clean as a new pimp. Keepers at Chicago's Brookfield Zoo washed the animals to celebrate International Bath Day. From anteaters to rhinos all got sprayed with a water hose. They seemed to love their bath time as it kept them cool in the summer heat. Zoo officials say the occasion is to honor ancient Greek scientist Archimedes, who made a discovery while in the bath. Well, you might be pleased to know life is going back to normal as countries around the world are easing coronavirus restrictions. Disneyland in the French capital, Paris, is saying bonjour to visitors once again with all necessary precautions. But everyone missed that. The theme park reopened its doors to the public with limited tickets and an online reservation system. All visitors over 6 years old are required to wear face masks and to observe social distancing guidelines. New attractions, including a hotel and various car rides, are also available for guests. Disneyland Paris was shut for over 7 months due to rising COVID-19 infections. This is the first time since January 2020 that all the six Disney resorts are open. Technology has come in handy to rescue animals in disaster zones. American cinematographer Douglas Thron has used a high-tech infrared drone to save animals from fire or storm, or even those who are stuck in trees. The drone he uses has a large thermal camera, a spotlight, and zoom lens. The good point is that the aerial vehicle does not make too much noise, therefore it does not scare away animals.
So what I do is I fly infrared drones primarily at night over disaster areas after a hurricane or a fire hits, and I look for people's pets, whether it be cats or dogs, and I also look for injured wildlife, and then either I or rescue crews will go in and rescue the animals after I spot the animals after these natural disasters.
Thron has so far rescued hundreds of stranded animals in various places in the US and Australia. Emergency services have allowed him to participate in rescue efforts after making sure that the drone works well to achieve its goal.
Elders in an Indonesian town are rewarded with live chickens if they get vaccinated for COVID-19. Officials in a town of Sipanas launched the program after the vaccination campaign faced a low turnout from the public. Many have been reluctant to receive a jab over various reasons. Some say they were afraid they would die if they get vaccinated. Now it seems that the rewards they take have worked well, and more people are willing to get a shot. Officials in the Indonesian town say they go door to door to give the elderly jabs and chickens to show their appreciation.
Children have their own ways of remembering the dead. In Gaza, Palestinian kids fly kites in memory of their peers who lost their lives in the recent Israeli onslaught. Dozens of kids participated in the event, holding kites bearing the pictures of 66 little victims. According to the organizers, the goal was to send a message to people around the world that Palestinian kids have the right to live a free and happy life. The children said their dream is to fly in the sky without any restrictions or wars. A herd of wild Asian elephants in China has turned into international stars after leaving their natural habitat in Yunnan province. The herd of 15 elephants is said to have left home in southwest China 15 months ago, but it was in April when they grabbed officials' attention after they were spotted by locals. The elephants have so far trekked nearly 500 kilometers across the country. They have traveled through villages and towns and even stopped for a rest. Local authorities have welcomed these mammoth travelers with treats of sweet corn and bananas. They are monitoring the elephants' movements with drones while keeping them away from residential areas.
Chinese grandma has given a dazzling display of her masterly kung fu performance at a martial arts competition. The 98-year-old woman and her son took the stage as a curtain raiser to the event. The duo put on a kung fu show before a large crowd of spectators who were impressed by her skillful gestures. She was invited to the competition to act as a judge.
I started practicing martial arts when I was only 5. I would box every day, learning movements like chopping, pushing palm, and thrusting palm. Though I am old now, my strength hasn't gone.
Zhang says she's inherited her family's martial arts. She's rumored to have a sense of justice from a very young age, and try to help others, which earned her quite a reputation where she lives. Traditional martial arts have been passed down in the Zhongkeng village located in Zhejiang province for 500 years. Let's go to Italy, where Mount Etna has put on an eye-catching show with its spectacular eruptions. Red hot lava fountains and plumes of smoke spewed up into the sky. The main eruption was located at the southeastern crater of the volcano. Mount Etna is Europe's tallest active volcano. It's located above the Sicilian town of Catania. It often erupts but rarely causes damage. However, nearby residents have to deal with ash showers. Geological studies show that Mount Etna has been active for more than 2 million years now. Egypt has opened its first archaeological replica factory in an attempt to promote its culture worldwide. The factory was inaugurated in response to people's demand for having detailed copies of ancient treasures. So far, over 6,400 high-quality replicas of ancient Egyptian artifacts have been produced. More than 150 artists work to make the goods out of stone, wood, and even gold.
The materials with which these are made are high quality. The highest and most elegant materials are being used to make these samples, and the materials are very close to those used to make the original artifacts.
The models have certificates showing that they are identical copies of the original artifacts. Each replica also has a barcode that provides extra information about the item. The factory is located in Kalyuba, about 35 kilometers northeast of the capital, Cairo.
Now, a lot of people don't like rats and find them disgusting most of the time. However, the rodents are doing life-saving work in Cambodia. Now, the Southeast Asian nation has deployed a new squad of African giant pouched rats to sniff out old landmines. The new recruits have shown an exceptional ability at their task, with their handlers claiming 100% accuracy. There are now nearly 50 demining rats working in the field in Cambodia. The country started using the animal services in 2016, and they have helped detect and clear hundreds of landmines since. Last year, an especially heroic rat called Magawa attracted global fame after receiving a gold medal for his work. The hero rat, who is now retired, detected over 71 landmines.
A muralist from Greece is blending mythology with graffiti and street art to depict how COVID-19 has impacted lives around the globe. Ficus Antonios has painted the walls of many cities around the globe. He is now in the Cypriot capital, Nicosia, to continue his work. His latest artwork depicts Americus, a Cypriot mythical figure who was punished by the gods and turned into a plant. The Greek artist believes this theme is similar to the situation people around the globe have experienced since the pandemic began. He explains many people have grown roots because they're staying in one place for so long. Two British artists have brought a combination of fun, art, and environmental concerns to the sidelines of the G7 summit. They have created a modern-day version of famous sculpture carved into America's Mount Rushmore. This time, it's called Mount Recyclemore. Joe Rush and Alex Rakic have made a sculpture of G7 leaders with electronic waste. They say their major goal is to raise awareness about the amount of unrecycled tech and gadgets, the damage they cause to the environment, and the ways to combat the issue internationally.
Well, what I'd like them to do, the leaders of the G7 conference, is I'd like them all to talk to each other and work out a plan that isn't just shifting the problem from one country to another, you know, but actually is a plan that we all work on together, which is how to deal with this waste and how to stop producing so much waste and how to recycle things. And all these issues have got to be dealt with globally. They can't be dealt with nationally, because that's where the problem is. So we need them all to get together, like we've put them together here, and deal with the problem.
The United Nations says 53 million tons of electronic waste are generated annually all over the world. It estimates that the amount of the waste will double in less than 30 years. If that happens, electronic waste would become the fastest growing waste stream in the world. advanced robots are increasingly helping humans in a variety of innovative ways. Now, they have found a place in the healthcare system and will help nurses and doctors stay safe during the COVID-19 pandemic.
I can do all kinds of things for elderly people. I can visit with people and brighten their day with social stimulation, entertain and help guide exercise, but also can do talk therapy, take bio readings and help healthcare providers assess their health and deliver treatments.
Grace, which is the newest humanoid robot to join the healthcare fleet. This intelligent machine can take temperatures and record other vital signs of patients. It has been designed in a way to also interact with the elderly and those isolated by the pandemic. Grace is a new prototype of celebrity humanoid robot, Sophia, created by a robotic team in Hong Kong.
So we designed Grace to look professional in a healthcare setting. So that would mean so that she would resemble the sort of human-like appearance of healthcare staff. And so then this would facilitate more natural interactions. A human-like appearance facilitates trust and facilitates a natural engagement because we're wired for human face-to-face interactions. That's just the way human beings are.
Hansen, while standing between Sophia and Grace, also said that both robots could speak different languages. He said Grace's creation was aimed at relieving the burden of frontline hospital staff dealing with COVID-19 patients. The company is planning a mass production of Grace and offers them to the market by August. The cost of making this robot is similar to a luxury car, but the cost is likely to decrease once the company begins manufacturing it in its thousands.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A tiny worm has wriggled back to life after lying frozen for 24,000 years in the permafrost land of northern Siberia. The organism was recovered from soil samples taken from 3.5 meters below the ground in Russia's Yakutia region. It's a multicellular organism that can withstand extreme cold. This ancient worm has broken the record for the longest living abeloid rotifer worm. Previous research suggests that it could survive for a decade when frozen. Earlier, scientists also discovered 30,000-year-old microscopic worms from northern Siberia. Australian scientists have discovered one of the world's largest ever dinosaur species in the Erromanga area in outback Queensland. Research shows the plant-eating sauropod lived between 92 million and 96 million years ago when Australia was attached to Antarctica. Paleontologists estimated the dinosaur was as long as a basketball court and as tall as a two-story building. That makes it the largest dinosaur ever found in Australia and one of the top five largest ones in the world. Bones of the dinosaur were first uncovered more than a decade ago by cattle farmers.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. Thank you for joining us here today. If our esteemed listeners remember, we've been talking about God's justice and wisdom. In some of our previous sessions, we talked about the meaning of justice and wisdom. We said that justice means to place everything in its own proper place. Wisdom means when wisdom is used as a characteristic and a description of actions, not knowledge, it refers to the fact that a certain action is performed in a solid way, in a good way, in a way that the action lasts, the thing created by that action lasts and subsists. We also said that justice is divided into three categories. We also said that there's a necessary relationship between wisdom and justice. In our last session, we were examining some of the reasons for justice and wisdom. We said that God Almighty is absolute perfection, and being absolute perfection, he has to contain within himself all perfections. And we said that justice and wisdom are perfections, beings who are not just, meaning they're oppressive, or who are not wise, rather they're unwise, are imperfect and deficient. Therefore, we can't attribute oppression or ignorance to God. It's possible for somebody to ask the following question: what is it that a being who is oppressive is imperfect? Why is it that a being that is unwise is imperfect? We can illustrate this by means of an example to help clarify in a tangible way why we say that oppression stems from imperfection, or ignorance stems from imperfection. It's very clear that ignorance is imperfection, but injustice, we can help clarify this by means of an example. Let's say that there's a person, he goes and he steals something from somebody. We can examine the reasons for why somebody would steal from somebody or oppress somebody. Sometimes this action might stem simply from the fact that this person might be ignorant of the impropriety of this action that he's doing. It also, ignorance is an imperfection, obviously. It also might stem from the fact that this person knows that this is improper, but he doesn't have any control over himself. He can't control himself. For example, he might have become habituated to this action. He might know it's wrong, but he might have been habituated to it, and he can't control himself. This lack of control, again, is an imperfection. It's a weakness of the will. So we see that this oppression might stem from ignorance. It might stem from weakness of will. Or, for example, let's say that a certain person wants to be good. Let's say that he passes a poor person on the street, and the poor person asks him for money. This is one of those places where the money that's in one's pocket deserves to be given to that person. Why doesn't he give this to this person? He might know it's good, right? He might know it's good, and he might even be a strong-willed person. But it's possible that this person might be stingy. He might be stingy, and therefore, he might not want to give this money to this person. So this act of injustice could stem from ignorance. It could stem from weakness. It could stem from stinginess. It might stem from other imperfections as well. This illustrates the fact that injustice or ignorance always stem from some sort of wisdom. It might also stem from the fact that simply from the fact that this person needs this money. He doesn't want to give it away. He feels that he needs this money. All of these are imperfections, and therefore must be rejected as properties of God. God doesn't have any of these imperfections, and therefore he's not unwise and he's not unjust. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We're examining reasons for God's justice and his wisdom. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Radio.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining me again on today's episode of The Lantern. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen that we've been blessed once again with this opportunity to create little reminders for ourselves that would act as a shining lantern in the path of life to help us guide, to create guidance for ourselves through the words of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and the Holy Quran, for us to be able to better ourselves in our interaction and treatment of others, and how we present ourselves in society, because at the end of the day, we're social creatures, whether we like it or not, whether we're introverts or extroverts, whether we're outgoing or whether we are, or whether we enjoy our own company over others. It's the truth of life, and it's important as Muslims and the followers of the school of the Ahlul Bayt and the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us to equip ourselves with the best etiquette when it comes to treating other people and interacting with them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known for being incredibly approachable, very good at having very good, well-built social skills. He was lenient with the people around him, whether they were his enemies or his friends. He was humble and eloquent in his speech. He was kind and compassionate and sympathetic toward his people. And all of these are important for us to learn from and pick up, because the Quran tells us, verily, in the Prophet of Allah is the best example for human beings. One of the instances where that we have to definitely learn from the ethics and the akhlaq of the Noble Messenger of Allah is in regard with his treatment of the elderly. So how about we listen to a short little story, as the tradition of the lantern holds, regarding this matter, and we're going to be right back, so please stay with us.
Today we have an interesting story entitled The Old Lady and the Teller. An old lady handed her bank card to the teller and said, "I would like to withdraw $10. The teller told her, "For withdrawals less than $1,000, please use the ATM." The old lady wanted to know why. The teller returned her bank card and irritably told her, "These are the rules. Please leave if there is no further matter. There is a line of customers behind you." The old lady remained silent for a few seconds and handed her card back to the teller and said, "Please help me withdraw all the money I have." The teller was astonished when she checked the account balance. She nodded her head, leaned down, and respectfully told her, "Ma'am, you have more than $1 billion in your account, but the bank doesn't have that much cash currently. Could you make an appointment and come back again tomorrow?" The old lady then asked how much she could withdraw immediately. The teller told her any amount up to $3,000. "Well, please let me have $3,000 now." The teller kindly handed $3,000 in a very friendly way and with a smile to her. The old lady put $10 in her purse and asked the teller to deposit $2,990 back into her account. So we have a moral code here. Don't be difficult with old people. They spend a lifetime learning the skill.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
In a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we read, "Verily, respecting the elders and the white beards of a society is part of glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." There are other groups of people that who respect for is equivalent to glorifying Allah, like those who know the Quran, experts in the Quran, and the just leaders. But the focus today is the ijlal, the respect and to respect and to revere the elderly, right? In my understanding, the reason for the emphasis our religion puts on the importance of respecting our elderly can be a number of things. Number one, it would naturally be the result of a great sense of compassion and sympathy within a human being. If a person can respect the elderly, like genuinely respect them, right? Make them feel good about themselves, help them, understand them, listen to them, support them, and things of that ilk, it means that that person possesses a higher intelligence and a higher emotional intelligence and a higher touch of humanity in them. They've come to this understanding that this elderly person, who's their grandma, their grandpa, their great aunt, their neighbor who's retired and whose family and children have moved away and now he's all alone with his cat, or the old janitor at their office or their school, any of that. They've understood that this person wasn't born 75, right? They weren't born as this frail, sometimes absent-minded, almost senile, weak, wrinkly, shriveled little human being. They once had a life. They carry a great weight of memory and life experience and ups and downs on their now frail and weak, narrow little shoulders. They once loved and they once lost and they've been hurt and they've laughed from the bottom of their heart and they've had their heart broken and they've been disappointed and they've achieved great success. And they've had regrets in their lives, and they've had repentances,